Good evening to everybody here, everybody online. I just have a simple title tonight about Welcome, Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, even before, I'm just going to thank the Lord now. I'll probably thank him afterwards, but I want to play a song that it's actually the title of the message is Welcome, Holy Spirit. So I just want to thank the Lord right now for this evening. We do welcome the presence and power and person of the Holy Spirit corporately among us and individually within our lives. And reflecting back, Lord, on the very wonderful person of the Holy Spirit, I've been so appreciative for these past 38 years, Lord. The change and transformation that you have brought in my life and somebody else, so many other people's lives, Lord, of the personal reality of yourself, of the Holy Spirit making real the finished work of Jesus personally within our lives. And I'm just so grateful, Lord, for the great love that you have for us and that you made sure that we had someone to dwell within us, the very person of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, to live and abide within us. And I would not be here today if it wasn't for this truth, this person, the Spirit of truth, this wonderful person of the Holy Spirit, and the reality of God's Word being taught to my life. I thank you, Lord, that so many lives on this planet, multiplied tens, hundreds, if not millions of people, have experienced the salvation in Jesus, which we're so grateful for, and making that salvation real by the indwelling Holy Spirit, functional within our lives, transformative within our lives. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. So let's just go ahead and listen to this song right now. Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
as I was saying earlier, that 38 and a half years ago, when I walked into this place as a pretty messed up, born-again Christian, and had no idea about Jesus could be real to us today, or the Holy Spirit could be real to us today, and had tried everything under the sun, and been given up, as you heard what I said Sunday, by the medical community, saying that I always would have this disability within my life, and then to be radically transformed by the indwelling Holy Spirit, and my life still being transformed to this day. With the Word of God, when it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus' last words before he ascended back to heaven after his resurrections, but you shall receive power, ability, the miracle-working power of God operative within your life when you receive the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and it will make you a witness, Jesus said unto me, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the world, a witness, a living expression of the reality of God dwelling within you. And it's just so real, and it should continue to be so real for us, as it also says here in Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul's making the comparison to what people give themselves over to, or what they're filled with, and he says, do not be filled with wine. In other words, don't be filled with other things that you think it's going to help your life. He says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. And if you just take time like to look up a word like that, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Greek word asoteria or asozo. It's the word sozo or salvation with an A in front of it, which means it will bring to pass the opposite of what salvation is. I believe the King James Version uses the word unsavedness. How many of you know that when a person gets drunk, they don't act right? Okay? And the Apostle Paul is here saying that when a person gets drunk, if they did have a salvation or if they ever did come to know Jesus, they're definitely not going to act like it. It will lead a person to a life of unsavedness. But he says, be filled with the Spirit. And there's such a truth here that the Lord wants all of us, especially those of us that have been saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit over any length of time, for us to make sure that we're continuing to experience that refreshing from the Lord, that we don't get used to Christianity, we don't get used to be the Holy Spirit within our lives, or the Word of God calls us a temple of the Holy Spirit, that he actually dwells here within us. 2 Corinthians 13, the last verse, I think it's verse 14, it talks about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. In the very last part there, it refers to the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, that there's actually a fellowship. There's actually a union that we should be having with the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times as believers, we don't really associate a fellowship or a communion with the Holy Spirit. We relegate that more to Father God and Jesus Christ, and not the Holy Spirit within our lives. The God is resident within our lives when we ask God as Christians. I'm speaking now, if you're a Christian, and that after salvation you ask for the Holy Spirit to come in your life, and you can actually learn to develop and have a fellowship with God, a dialogue with him. And hopefully Sunday I'm going to go over some more of these things, since Sunday's Pentecost Sunday. But there is a fellowship, there's a partnership, there's a union that we should all be experiencing. And sometimes what I've been seeing with Spirit-filled believers over a period of time, we go from an intimacy with the Lord to just used to things or just living life, that we no longer look to God. We look to his presence within inside of our life as to do something within us or speak to us or lead us or to guide us or to teach us. And I guess I am just so dependent upon the Holy Spirit within my life. And I believe that more of us need to develop a dependency on the Holy Spirit. And if we have any skills or anything that we're used to doing or we're good at, sometimes when we have learned to do life, then we learn to do life without God or without God's help. We just learn how to do things. And we don't realize that he was the one that even gives us the ability to do anything, to cope with anything, to get through anything. It's all his work with inside of our lives, and we don't even actually realize that. And as I was mentioning on Sunday in Acts chapter 19, Paul is traveling, preaching the gospel all throughout Asia, and he comes to this region of Ephesus. And it says he comes across certain disciples. I think it says in verse 1, Acts 19, verse 1. And he could tell that they were disciples of something, and he just thought they were disciples of Jesus, and that's why he asked them this question. Let me just read the verse to you. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. He could tell that they were religious. He could tell that they were followers of, and he just took it for granted that they were followers of Jesus. And that's why he asked the question in verse 2, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So that he knew they were religious, and he thought they were saved, but how many of you know that a person can be saved and not be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they'll act differently? They're different. And so he's like, "You don't act like Spirit-filled believers." So he's asking them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And the reason why I'm using that as a question right now, from, I don't know, 1977 to 1981, I was saved. I was saved. I was water baptized. I was going to discipleship classes. They taught us how to memorize scripture, how to read our Bible. But compare those first years of my walk with the Lord, then after getting baptized with the Holy Spirit, you can almost, how many of you have come up to Christians, and they say they're Christians, and have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Because there's something missing in their life. And Paul knew that there was something missing in their life, so they go up and answer Paul by saying, "We're disciples of, or we've been baptized in John's baptism," I think he said. They answered him. So he had to teach them about Jesus, and then he water baptizes them, and then he lays hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues and either prophesied or magnified God, that the scripture says there. And so we have this ability as Spirit-filled believers to realize when people aren't Spirit-filled, and that we can ask them if they would like to be Spirit-filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. But having said that, that even at times after, like me, journeying with the Lord for 38 years since I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, there's such a dependence that I have developed with God, with the Scriptures, and with the Holy Spirit. The last 10 years especially, since I'm believing God for something to take place within in my life, and I've had to cling to Him a whole lot more, even at times just coming here to speak, I have to really trust Him that He's going to give me the words that I need to say. Not that I haven't studied and I haven't prayed, but sometimes it's a very monumental thing to do. But having to put so much stock, so much holding on to the Holy Spirit for Him to come through within my life is just absolutely remarkable. Just having to lean on Him for almost everything daily in life. And so, you know, I wrote down some things here. Actually, let me go back here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 here. Romans 8, and I'm going to read verses 14 to 17. "For as many as are led by the Spirit, are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of the children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." That's just so wonderful right there. How God delivers us, not only in salvation, but when we receive the Holy Spirit, from all these different bondages, from all these things that people were afraid of, phobias of any kind, fears of any kind, that would just cripple people. Even like this COVID-19, sometimes it can be such a crippling fear. I was in the store the other day, and I had my mask on, but this little thing came over me to start. I had to cough, and so I started coughing as I was shopping through the store. And it's amazing. People's carts are like heading in all these different directions. So I was trying to hold the cough in because I saw it was affecting people by me coughing. And so they're just boom, boom, boom. And it's amazing what goes through the mind when something's going on Oh, get away from that guy. He might have a, you know, it's like you have the plague. How many different things have we been set free from? How many different bondages? How many, you know, before we came to know Jesus or before we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how many different things were activated in our life that are now completely gone because of such the wonderful transformative process of God's Word and the Holy Spirit within our lives, making real the finished work of Jesus. And it says, but you receive the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself, the Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. And it's just so neat that the Holy Spirit is the one. You know, so many people I've talked to over the years, and I've talked to them about their salvation, and I hear at times the response, well, can you really know that you're saved? I don't really know. I said this prayer, but I don't really know that I'm saved. We have a passage of Scripture here that it says that the Holy Spirit bears witness to us, that you know that you know that you know on the inside that you are a child of God, that you have received the gift of eternal life, that you are forgiven of your sins. There is an inner witness that you have that you know that you are clean, that you're forgiven, you're a child of God, and there's a witness within inside of you that says you are a child of God. Not to say that we're not going to do stupid things, not to say that we're going to not say wrong things, and not make always the right choices. But we have also the Holy Spirit within us to convict us, to convict us of those areas that we need to repent of or ask others to forgive us of. He's always at work, working out that wonderful salvation that Jesus Christ has secured for all of us. And so do you remember your first encounter? I have some questions here I just want you to think about. And hopefully all of us should have answers for, and if not, then you need to ask God for answers for these questions. Do you remember your first encounter with Holy Spirit or hearing about the Holy Spirit? Now, from 1977, when I got saved, matter of fact, this month, May 1977, is when I came to know the Lord. So that was, 43 years ago in that Fifth Street Baptist Church, Key West, Florida. I'd never even heard of the Holy Spirit. I never knew about any ministry of the Holy Spirit. I was reading my Bible, but it was just never an issue that was really talked about. So do you remember your first encounter with the Holy Spirit or hearing about the Holy Spirit? And did it get your attention? Were you inquisitive? Like, what is that? I haven't heard anything about that. Did you even know that there was a Holy Spirit after salvation? If I was to ask you the question, who is the Holy Spirit? How would you answer, who is the Holy Spirit? Do we need the Holy Spirit in our lives? And if the answer is yes, how's that working? How's that working in your life? How's the person of that Holy Spirit communicating, speaking? Is it little? Is it none? Is it getting better? Is it growing? Does the Holy Spirit possess personality, thoughts, or feelings? Say, you know, does the Holy Spirit possess personality? Is he a distinct person? Does he have feelings? Does he communicate? Does he think? And we should all be able to answer this. Now, the next thing I need to say is you should also know where this is at in Scripture. And what I'm going to do is challenge you with some of these questions so that even you on your own will begin looking up some of these answers. Do you know that it was the Holy Spirit that gave us the Word of God? And where does that say that in Scripture, though? Can we, as Spirit-filled believers, become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit than we are today? And every one of us should answer with an affirming yes. I'm sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but I want to become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How about you? Do we really need the Holy Spirit? Another one that a lot of people that they don't really understand about the Holy Spirit, is there deity connected with the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit co-equal with Father and Son? Meaning, does the Holy Spirit have godly characteristics? Do you know, is the Holy Spirit omnipresent? Is he everywhere at one time? Is the Holy Spirit omnipotent? Is he all-powerful? Is the Holy Spirit omniscient, all-knowing? And the answer for all three of these is yes. He is everywhere at one time. He is all-powerful, and he is all-knowing. And the neatest part about it, as Spirit-filled believers, he dwells within inside of us. So the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within us. Yet, at times, we don't avail ourselves to this wonderful person in his magnificence, in who he is. When was the last time you needed to know something and you tried figuring it all out yourself until you got completely frustrated? When was the last time you needed answers for your life? When was the last time that you just didn't know what was going on and I'm here alone? Oh, wait a second. Yeah, I'm alone, but I'm not alone. The presence of God is with me by the Holy Spirit. He knows everything, so there's something he can communicate to me. He sees everything. He's present. He knows things to come. He knows where life is going. He knows the end of all things. So why don't I avail myself more to him? This and these are, and so many other questions we could just begin asking ourselves about the Holy Spirit. But at times, as Spirit-filled believers, we need to purposely engage the Holy Spirit more intimately, more purposefully, that we need to make sure that we are communicating with him. What's that passage that I'm thinking of, Lord? Okay, to come back to me later. I know he'll bring it back to my remembrance. And I was making mention of my testimony this past Sunday morning, and at times I don't give the proper timeline of things in my life, that when I speak about my condition before as an alcoholic or under psychiatric care, on medication, taken and abused, so if I ever drank on it, that I would actually get drunk, I would actually die if I was on that medication. Going to support meetings, the pastor couldn't help me, the psychologist couldn't help me, the psychiatrist couldn't help me, so he decided to put me on drugs, gave me a diagnosis that I'd always be this way, and always need to be on these medications for the rest of my life. I knew that there was an answer. I didn't know where that answer was. I would read my Bible faithfully. I was going to church. I was going to Bible study. I was holding down. I was what they called a functional. I was a functional person in society, but with all these mental hang-ups and emotional problems that I had, marital problems. Oh my gosh. Antisocial features, mental instability, learning disability, schizoid tendencies, verbally abusive to people, had esteem and self-worth issues. Like I said, marital problems, self-harm or self-mutilating behavior, anger issues. And that was as a Christian. That's as a Christian. That is, you know, these things were so magnified in my life, even from 1977 to coming here in 1981, and I was seeking help from all these different sources. And I even went to the New Age. I even took some classes on mind control and self-hypnosis and spirit-guided therapies. And that's probably where I got demonic access into my life. And all these things, because I knew that there was an answer. I knew that there was an answer. And this is what I would say to Christine. I'd read my Bible, and she just thought I was just one basket case. I mean, she packed her bags a couple times, like, I'm out of the door. She goes, you're beyond help of anybody. And I said, but I know that there's an answer. God has an answer. I'd read my Bible. There's got to be an answer. I just don't know what it is. But I said, be patient with me. I said, I'm seeking. I'm looking. And she's like, well, you're looking in some of the wrong places. You know, sometimes she'd find these books, New Age books, and she'd throw them away. Because I knew that these people were, I don't know, they were somehow seeing in a spiritual, I knew that there was a spiritual realm, but I definitely wasn't hearing about it in church. I wasn't definitely hearing about God could help us now, today, within our lives. That the things that I was learning was, I need to be a good witness of Jesus. I got to hang in there till I breathe my last breath, and I got to talk to as many people as I can about Jesus before I leave here. But I had no idea that Christianity could function, that it could work, that if you have mental issues, they can be healed, That if you're an alcoholic, you don't ever have to be an alcoholic anymore. If you're on drugs, you can come off drugs. That all that God has healing for our lives. He has freedom for our lives. That the areas that I used to harm myself in, I didn't have to be that way anymore. It was demonic. Didn't like that I became a child of God in Jesus Christ. And not even understanding these things and having anger issues resolved within in my life. And this was from 1977 to 1981. It was getting worse and it was getting worse. But I knew that there was more. I knew that there was more. And because I knew that there was more, I was always hungering and thirsting for more of God. And if somebody mentioned God, I was going after it. Metaphysics, I'm going after it. I'm going after anything that has to do with somehow God being real within your life. When I was young, most of you have heard of a Ouija board. I played a Ouija board faithfully. I mean, I tell you, that thing, it would move and it would answer questions. And I remember the very last time I played with one, my sister and I were playing with it. I was like 12 and she was 9. And the little thing shot from underneath our hands and it went to, I mean, it landed perfectly on no. Like, I don't want to play anymore. Well, we kept doing it. Three times it zipped to no. My sister finally got up and screamed. I got it up. I broke it up into as many pieces as I could and I threw it in the, I got scared. But I realized there was another realm. At 12 years old, I realized that there was another realm, that we weren't just the realm, that there was something else. And I had an understanding of that, but how do you contact God? How do you make communication with this realm? Is there good in the realm? Is there bad in the realm? And all these thoughts as a kid was going on with inside my head. Then finding out these truths, that there's a present-day ministry of Jesus. That there is, yes, we know Jesus as Savior, but there's also a lordship and kingship of Jesus that can be functional in our life. That as a Lord and as a King, he knows how to give direction. He knows how to give purpose. That the Word of God is tangible, it's real, it's livable. And I wrote some things down here, that Jesus is also considered Almighty God in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. And that in John 15, he's referred to, no, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Because servants don't know what the master's doing, but friends do. And so I was like, whoa, wait a second here. These truths that I started hearing when I first started coming here. That God wants to be a friend. That Jesus is Lord and he's got ability in and over our lives. That our lives can work and our lives can function. That he's a high priest. That not only did he become Savior of the world, but he became Savior and High Priest at the same time. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, that the High Priest once a year would take the blood of the atonement sacrifice in on the Day of Atonement into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood. So not only was Jesus High Priest, but he himself was the Lamb of God. He was the sacrifice and High Priest. But when he went in there, he did it once for all. Once that blood was accepted in that holy altar of heaven, that holy of holies of heaven, it's been forever accepted there. It's called an eternal redemption for us. And Jesus not only stands as high priest, it says that his ministry is a continuing ministry forever. And his ministry will never come to an end. And that's why the book of Hebrews, when it talks about Jesus as a high priest, he's also called the surety of the new covenant, or a better English word for that would be the guarantee. Jesus guarantees what he has done on our behalf, guarantees its result within our lives, and that's why he sent the Holy Spirit. So what he did for us on the cross, his victory over sin, his victory over Satan, his victory over the flesh, his victory over the world, and everything that came against him, he made sure that he sent the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, in John 17, or John 16, he said, it's to your advantage that I go away. It's to your benefit that I go away. I need to go away so the Holy Spirit can come. And the Holy Spirit can come into your life. To what? Work in you what I have secured for you. To work out in you what I have secured in you. He's going to bring all things to your remembrance. He's going to glorify me. There's this wonderful functioning of the Holy Spirit that's going to take place within a person's life. I'd never heard of any of that stuff prior to 1981. I'd never heard that God wants to work with inside me and heal me and transform me and give me victory and give me life, give me peace, have a joy, to know that there's a situation, that there's a problem, and I could be completely devastated in. I don't know up from down from anything, but have an understanding God knows all things. Having a Romans 8:28, finally understanding that God will work all things together for the good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. And at times it's taken a long time. What was it? Tim Delena recently, Times Square Church, the new senior pastor of Times Square Church, he was talking about Fanny Crosby. She had only, experienced 9 months of sight within her life. And she has written more hymns, more spiritual songs than anybody in history that has written any type of Christian music. She actually got to a point in her life when she was old. I think Tim Delena brought this up about Fanny Crosby, that she was glad that she experienced blindness, for her life would have never accomplished what it has accomplished for Jesus Christ. And so you're like, whoa, that is a huge thing to be able to say, that God can take something so devastating, so horrible, and work it together for the good. Take an alcoholic and free him from his alcoholism. Take a person that's diagnosed by the medical community that you'll always be like this the rest of your life and you'll always have to be on medication, to never being like that again and never being on that type of medication again. You see, that's what God does. God, Jesus is real today, and that's why Jesus said, well, you need the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring the power of me within your life. And that's what we need. And at times, as Christians, we forget. We forget about this wonderful person of the Holy Spirit. We forget that he's teacher, that he's companion, that he's comforter, that he's helper, that he's here to guide, he's here to be our director, he's here to be the reveal of truth to us, to show us things that we don't quite understand, to give us a vision for something about our life or our family that we're just not seeing. Because will we dare to ask him about it, and will we dare to wait patiently enough for him to begin to show us the things that we need to see? And actually sometimes the things that we really don't want to see, but he wants to show us. So is there that fellowshipping? Is there that moving closer to the Holy Spirit within our lives? That are your minds, are your thoughts, are your feelings, are your emotions becoming the thoughts and ways of God? And every one of us should be able to say, yes, they are. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives the, who takes this word here, makes it real to us, so that our thoughts can be like how God would think, so that we can see something the way that God would see it and not from how we're seeing it or how we're feeling about it. And God can give us the way that we should be seeing it, the way that we should be addressing it, and the way that we should be responding to it. How many of you know that at times life can be really frustrating? At times, it can be a drag. I'll just say it can be a drag, right? I mean, have you ever not wanted to get up in the morning? Have you, oh my gosh, you know. I used to tell Christine, I said, it's time to go to bed so we can hurry up and get up and do it all over again. She goes, that is so negative. Would you just shut up? Because, you know, here we go again. Here the roller coaster is just going to get back on this merry-go-round again tomorrow. Until this wonderful understanding of the presence of God is with us, and he's got purpose, he's got hope, he's got leading, he's got direction. There's things that he's wanting to communicate with us. There's a fellowship that we can begin to enjoy. There are things that he's wanting to bring to our remembrance. There's things that he's wanting to teach us and show us. But if we're already locked into something, if we're already fixed on something, or if we say, well, I'm this way and I'll always be like this, well, then how can he get in there and move if we have this type of a belief? If I would have kept to the belief that the medical community said about me, I would not be changed today. But I chose to believe God's report. I chose to believe what the Word of God had to say. I chose to believe that, well, wait a second. And I told you, you've heard me say this before, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new species. That word is species. He is something that never existed before. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And I thought, and I sat there and I thought about that. All things become new. So their diagnosis is old, and Jesus wants to bring something new within my life. Hope. That brought me hope. Christine's got her bags packed. She's already left once or twice. Wait a second, God can help fix me in that area so that my wife will want to stay and not leave. See, there has to be that hunger that we have with inside of us, knowing that if there's something old that is not of God, that is not of the kingdom of God, that is not of the life of God, if there's something old still working in our brain, how many of you still have some old stuff working in your thinking? Or the term that I like to say is stinking thinking. And sometimes if we stay on that rabbit trail long enough, it can really be a downer. It can really bring you, your emotions can change, you can cry, you can get upset, you can go to bed. How many of you know just by thinking can change your whole attitude, either for good or for bad, right? But if we have an understanding that, wait a second, I've been given the gift of eternal life, life as God is, life that God has, I have an access to God's presence, I've got the Spirit of God dwelling within me. I've got this whole book that I like to refer to, not just my prayer manual, but I got a whole book of promises. I've got all these things that God wants to reveal to me, and there's these truths in here that he wants me to begin saying, this is what I want you to believe, not that. That is not what I've ever intended for your life. It was introduced into your life, but you were never meant to experience. But because of sin, because of Satan, because of this world, because of this fallen nature of society, you experience something that you should have never experienced, but I've got a remedy. And it never fails. It never fails when we follow the instructions given to us. Never fails. God doesn't fail. And so I can be renewed. I can be transformed. I have been transformed. I am being transformed. And I will yet be transformed. That's the truth of God's word. Let me give you a passage for that. It says in 2 Corinthians, the last two verses of chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 and 18. And I for some reason, because I know it's Pentecost Sunday coming up, and I was thinking about the Feast of Pentecost, and I was like, you know, Lord, I don't really know if I even want to teach on the Feast of Pentecost. How about just bragging on the Holy Spirit? How about just talking about this wonderful person that is so sometimes neglected, even in the church, even in the Spirit-filled church? He's so neglected, his office is so neglected, and his importance is so neglected. And so this is just part of this study that I've been doing on this wonderful person of the Holy Spirit and how completely transformed my life has been. When I went back and looked at some of those things that I was diagnosed with, facing 5 years in prison for assault with a deadly weapon and waking up the next morning, I was in the military. I had no idea what I did the night before because I was in a blackout. I drank so much, I had no idea. I'm waking up, I'm handcuffed behind my back. I'm handcuffed to my bed. There's a guy standing over me with an M16, and the captain of the ship says, if he tries to get up, put one between his eyes to keep us from this problem we're about to face. I brought a bad name on the Coast Guard because I got arrested down in Miami when we pulled in. I hurt somebody. And it just happened to be where I hurt this person. It was on military property. And because it was on military property, it went from a civil case or from the state of Florida. They had to transfer me over and everything to it to the military. So I was tried in a military court of law instead of a civil court of law. And I was saved. I was saved. But I still had a drinking problem. And in my court-martial, one individual stood up. My engineering officer, Mark, came to us months ago and said he had a drinking problem, and he asked us for help. And we just thought he wanted to get out of work. And yet he's one of the hardest workers we've got. Nobody would listen to him. He came to us. We didn't listen. And now look what happened. I will not put in my vote for him to go to prison. Mark doesn't need prison. He needs help, and I want to help him. And it was just really cool. That started me on this healing journey that finally led me here in 1981, a year after I got out of the military. It led me to the place where God knew that I would receive all the healing that I needed for my life. And this is the truth here, these last two verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now remember, when I'm saying these, when I'm giving this testimony, we're going back 43 years on this testimony and 38 years on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's sometimes when I give this testimony, I don't give those decades in there like, oh man, when did this happen? Are you still messed up? Jesus is my healer, hallelujah. It says in verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, right here making an equality with Lord or God, the same type, the same power and authority that God has, that Jesus has, the Holy Spirit has. And now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. Grab hold of that. It doesn't matter the hang-up. It doesn't matter the habit. It doesn't matter the problem. It doesn't matter the situation. It says where the Spirit of the Lord is, He will lead us to a place of liberty. That the bindings that bind us, He will loose us from those bindings. The things that constrain us, He will loose us from those constraints. The things that are keeping us down, He knows how to cut those things that are keeping us down. It says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, another definition of that word is freedom. And we have to grab hold of that. So ask yourself the question, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or there is freedom. You know, when I was in the Coast Guard, we'd pull into a port. What would they call it when sailors would get time off the ship? Liberty, liberty, liberty. All hands have liberty. Woo-hoo! We were free from the constraints from the Coast Guard for the next 6 hours. And we could just basically go out there and do whatever we wanted to do. And so you'd hear this term liberty. So my question to you is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or there is freedom. As Spirit-filled Christians, where is this liberating Spirit dwelling? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Therefore, there is liberty always abiding. There is freedom always abiding within me. When is the last time you personalized it that way? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'd really like to get a hold of that sometime. What do you mean? He's right here. He's present with us. Why don't we put some stock into what this says and acknowledge Him? Lord God, I just thank You for this verse here that You're bringing an understanding to my life that if there's something constraining me, if I'm not free in a certain area of my life, You dwell within me and You will bring me to this place of freedom. I acknowledge Your presence within my life and I'm asking You to lead me to an area of freedom or liberty, and You may have to put it whatever You want to fill in that blank with. And You acknowledge His abiding presence. Teach me Your word. Show me what You have for my life. And I expect You to do it. And you grab hold of it and you refuse to let it go. As you have heard me say, at times we need self-fulfilling prophecies within our life. This right here can become a self-fulfilling prophecy in your life if you'll accept it by faith. I acknowledge that God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within inside of me. And where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty and there is freedom. So God is not a man that He should lie. All the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and all the promises of God in Jesus are amen. Therefore, I can go ahead and secure this promise because the Spirit of God dwells within my life, and He will lead me in this area, whatever that area is, to a place of liberty and freedom in Jesus' name. And because you've accepted it by faith and said it by faith, and you don't renege on it, you continue to hold to it, it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Your life will seek to fulfill it. The Spirit of God will lead you to fulfill it. The next verse tells us, look what it says here in the next verse. But we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror. I just got through reading something in the mirror of God's word. I just got through reading to you that verse in verse 17. And we see what it says. We see what it says in the mirror of God's word. We see the glory of the Lord. We see the honor of God. We see what God wants to do. And therefore, we will be transformed into that same image from glory to glory. How? Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 17 gives us that promise, gives us the mirror view. And then we have in verse 18 that he will progressively bring it to pass within our life. And that's what you got to grab hold of. You got to grab hold that he is this transforming power within your life, and he will progressively be about doing it. And I just sometimes, sometimes we look at our life and we don't really see anything. I just want you to look for the teensiest little bit of change. Oh, hallelujah! When the prophet sent his servant out, when Elijah sent his servant out, after how many years it didn't rain? What, 3.5 years or 7 years? 3.5? How many years did it not rain in the Old Testament? Come on, help me out here. I'm getting the ministry years of Jesus probably mixed up here, the 3.5 years. What's that? 3.5. Really? Okay, good. I was going to, because I know it's in James. James tells us how long it didn't rain in James chapter 5. It says here, 3 years and 6 months. And he goes out and he sends a servant out. And finally the servant comes back and he's wanting to know if there's any rain clouds coming. And he says, all I see is one little cloud the size of my fist. Have you ever, you know what I did? I've gone outside and I've taken my fist to the sky. And it's amazing what size that cloud looks like that will fill, if you hold your hand up there and the cloud behind that can fill up that. That's all that guy saw. I just see a cloud the size of a fist. See, that's all that prophet needed. It wasn't a thunderstorm. It wasn't a thundercloud. It wasn't a shelf cloud that we've seen some of the pictures on recently on TV of this huge storm coming in. It was a single cloud the size of a fist. That's all he needed. It's going to rain. That's all he needed. See, he had an understanding. He had a relationship with God. And if you go back and study the Deuteronomy chapter 28, and if you go back and study the blessings and the curses, and he knew, he had such a relationship with God that he knew that the children of Israel, because of Ahab and Jezebel, and the children of Israel were living in sin. And one of the curses in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that God would shut up the heavens. So how did God shut up the heavens? Elijah saw the king, saw the queen, saw how the children of Israel were living, and he says, it shall not rain except by my word. Because he went ahead and took God at his word. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain, nor shall it rain again, but by my word. Because he knew what the word of God said. If you depart from my law, if you depart from my word, and if you cease doing my commandments, and it says all these things, and one of the things was drought. And so he went ahead and spoke it. And because he knew that he was supposed to do that, it didn't rain except by his word. But because of all these things, through his ministry that had happened, the children of Israel, their hearts are turning back to God. The prophets of Baal were killed. And he starts seeing all these things happening with the children of the Lord, that they're actually coming on the side of Deuteronomy chapter 28, those first few verses of the blessings, that he was now able to say, let it rain. Because the hearts of the people had changed. And he could go ahead and ask God for the rain, because God said that he would do that. He would bring rain on the ground. He would bring rain when the people's hearts, or when they were doing or obeying God's word. And so we have this wonderful truth that God wants us to be able to grab hold of, and he wants us to be able to take as to our life and hold on to it and never let it go. As that prophet did not let go of the word of God, when he prayed, he knew God would answer. When we pray a promise like 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So ask yourself right now, are you experiencing liberty? Are you experiencing freedom? Have you taken this verse right here and said, you know, Lord, I've read this and I've heard it over and over again, but I'm not experiencing liberty and freedom that Jesus Christ secured for my life. But your word just plainly says, I know that I'm saved, and I know that you've filled me with your Holy Spirit. And your word declares right here, and you can't lie, Lord God. I know you don't lie. All things are upheld by the word of your power, is what the scripture says. And your word says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Spirit of the Lord dwells here within me. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I've asked for the Holy Spirit. I've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty and there is freedom. So in this area of my life, Lord, I am not experiencing as it is in heaven here in my life or on earth. I'm not experiencing this aspect of your nature, this character. But I believe, according to this scripture, that you're going to produce that within my life. And I'm going to go ahead and allow my faith to be built on this and expect this to come to pass within my life, because I'm looking into the mirror of your word, and the mirror of your word says that this is what the Holy Spirit does. And I will be transformed, a progressive transformation into that image or into that truth or that promise that is being revealed to you. You will experience it. I will experience it. We do experience it. And at times, we have to go back and remember where God did meet us. You have to go back when God did visit you. You have to go back when there was an answered prayer, when there was a testimony of God working within your life. At times, we have to remember. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. At times, we have to go back sometimes to the bedrock of our salvation, the first time that we gave our life to Jesus and we knew we were forgiven of our sins. God is saying we've got to go back and make that connection, and at times by way of testimony. And if you have a hard time going back in your life looking at a testimony of someone, Paul said that God saved him. I believe we covered that Sunday in 1 Timothy 1 as a pattern for those who are going to believe. And at times, God will give you somebody to look at. Well, wait a second. In Donna's life, I've seen this take place. Well, if God can do it in Donna's life, God's not a respecter of persons. God can do it in my life too. So even if you don't have a personal testimony, look at somebody's life who has been changed in that area and grab hold of it. You did it for them, you'll do it for me. God's not a respecter of persons. And so if anybody's got freedom in one area, if anybody got liberty in one area, if anybody's ever to overcome anything in any area of your life, it's the same Holy Spirit in them, and it's the same Holy Spirit in you to produce the same results in your life. See, at times we just got to get so simple. I mean, it's actually simple, but we make it complicated. We let the present circumstances or the present environment speak to us greater. We allow this kingdom, what's going on in our kingdom, in our lives, in our homes, inside of our kingdom thinking brain, instead of the way that God sees it or what God's word has to say, his thoughts that need to become our thoughts, his ways that need to become our ways, his view that needs to become our view. And sometimes we got our view so huge, and the way that we're seeing things is so huge. When I've done this, I've actually got to, I give up, I'm done. I can't do this. In my own strength, I can't. But when I start seeing a verse like this, wait a second, that Spirit of God lives in me. It says that he produces liberty and freedom. He produces in me what Jesus Christ secured on my behalf. It's victory over sin, victory over Satan, victory over the flesh, victory over this world system. Victory in relationships. I mean, just go on. Just think of anything that your life might be facing and think of a condition in heaven. Does that condition exist there? No, it does not exist there. So since that condition doesn't exist there, then the Word of God says that I can seek first the kingdom of God and have what's functioning there to function within my life. And it says that the Holy Spirit will do this. I need to start putting more credence or more trust or more confidence in what the Word of God has to say to the indwelling Holy Spirit, taking God's Word and making it real and personal to me. Or as I've been sharing on the Thursday class, on the online Thursday class, I've been talking about revelation knowledge. He wants to take the knowledge of God's Word and make it revealed truth to you. Revealed truth to you, as if God was just personally speaking it to you. He's wanting to make it revealed to you. See, it can be revealed to me, but if it's not revealed to you, if you don't spend enough time with it, and that verse 17, 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says that, but will you stay with 17 and 18 long enough until it begins speaking to you? To get up thinking about it, to write it down. Randy Morabito, I don't know if he still does, these index cards. Randy always had, for years, a promise. Mm-hmm. He just always, keep it and pull it out, a promise for the day, and he'd keep it with him, sometimes for a week. I mean, maybe some of us, that would work. Keep it on your phone. Put it as a reminder, on your phone for, to every hour, remind me for the next 24 hours, every hour, remind me, where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty, there is freedom in Jesus Christ. Boop, boop. Sometimes we might need something as simple as that, right? But if we don't put stock, if we don't put faith in what this says, or we look at our life and we look at this verse, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, who here or anybody we know would look at something like that and go, yeah, right? See, that is such a huge stone of unbelief. But what I'm here to also tell you, even though that there could be such a huge unbelief like that in a person's life, as there was so much garbage that was in my life, because I continue, that yeah, right becomes, nah, maybe so. If I stay with it, you know, I found out some things about God. He doesn't lie, and what he says, he means what he says, and he doesn't put stuff in here just to tease us with. He really wants us to know this. He really wants us to experience this. So your yeah, right can come to a place of faith if you will begin to meditate or to think on, chew on that word over and over, and begin thinking about the nature and character and heart of God as a good, good father who wants to bring to pass his truth and his promises within your life. And he does it by the Holy Spirit. And it's just so wonderful that, you know, this is where I'm going to stop here this evening. This is part of 2 Corinthians 13:14, the very last part of that. It talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And this is where we can begin a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that I'm saying, okay, Holy Spirit, I want to have a fellowship with you. The moment I acknowledge this truth of a verse like this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, I just acknowledge, Lord, I just thank you right now for the presence of the Holy Spirit within my life. And you're going to ever bring to pass this verse within my life. And there are so many areas, Lord God, that need to be worked on. You know the first one right now that needs to be addressed. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring this to pass within my life. As I begin dialoguing with God, as Jesus said, we pray to the Father in his name. As I begin dialoguing with God, there is a fellowship of the Holy Spirit that's taking place here. He is being exalted. He's being glorified. He's being consulted. I'm giving him permission to work this in my life. And I believe at times that we need to give the Holy Spirit permission to bring to pass these truths within our life. And the reason why I even gave you some of my background this evening is just to encourage people that as Paul was a pretty messed up persecutor of the church in a very violent way, as I told you in Acts chapter 8, when he did havoc against the church, and his testimony in Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter 26, if you put together all those things that Paul did against the church as Saul, he was a pretty violent man. And you know, just imagine a terrorist. He was a terrorist. And taking people and torturing them until they recanted or gave up their faith in Jesus. Can you imagine being tortured until you denied Jesus? Because he really believed in his mind at that time, these people are lost, that Jesus is a false Messiah, and I've got to get him back to Judaism. I got to get him away from this false Messiah. And he really thought he was doing God's service in his torturing and humiliation and ruining or persecuting the church until he had his encounter with Jesus. And so think of these Islamics. Think of these people that sometimes we have very bad feelings concerning those in Islam. Paul was very similar to that. We can pray and ask God. Can pray and ask God for these people who think that they're doing their God's service. They need an encounter with Jesus. So, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus that your word tells us that we are to be filled with your Holy Spirit and that we have the ability, Lord God, to remain full of your Holy Spirit, to remain full of the word, to remind ourselves of your abiding presence within our lives, for us to have an understanding of your indwelling presence, power, and person within our lives, making real what Jesus Christ has secured, what he secured on the cross for us. Taking that wonderful salvation of Jesus and Jesus' victory over Satan, Jesus' victory over sin, Jesus' victory over this world, Jesus' victory over every temptation that came his way, and also taking all the garbage of this world upon himself so that we could be completely set free. How we view things, how we think about things, how we see things, no matter what has happened to us, that there is a complete freedom secured for us, that the Holy Spirit's working within our lives. And we want to be filled with this truth, Lord God. We want to be so filled with this knowledge and this understanding that we are experiencing more of this. Not just hearing it, Lord God, but staying with a verse like 2 Corinthians 3:17. Long enough, Lord God, till it gets deeply seated as part of our present right now thinking, and that it begins kicking out anything else, Lord God, that is not of your kingdom or what is not for our lives. And so we thank you, Father, for the witness of the Holy Spirit right now that we are your children through our faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your present, even filling right now. If there's anybody here right now needing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they would just take a moment. They would just take a moment. Jesus, I acknowledge you right now as Savior. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I thank you for going to the cross on my behalf and completely cleansing me by your blood from all sin and making me clean in your sight, making me your child because of my faith in you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. And I just ask right now, for a filling of your Holy Spirit within my life. I can't do this alone. I need your presence within me, Lord God. I need the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need the partnership and the friendship of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit as my teacher, my guide into all truth. The one who's going to bring to my remembrance the Word of God when I need it brought to my remembrance. Lord God, I don't want to quench. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit in my life anymore. I want to be filled with the fullness of yourself. I acknowledge right now that the Holy Spirit within me is the Spirit of liberty. And because he dwells within me, the liberty, freedom of the Holy Spirit is mine because he dwells within me and he's going to bring it to pass within my life. So Father God, we just say thank you right now. I say thank you for the Holy Spirit, for I would not be here today if it wasn't for the reality of your indwelling presence. Over these past 38 years, Lord God, and you're ever becoming more personal to my life. And I thank you, Lord, that if there's anyone here that needs to rekindle first love, rekindle the thought of the presence of God the Holy Spirit within their lives, and may have forgotten about God's abiding presence and power and person. Lord God, I pray for the person that needs help right now, that you would just reveal yourselves in a very special way, if not now, tonight, while they're sleeping, even in dreaming, Lord God, you can reveal yourself. I just thank you, Father, that wherever we are, you are. You're ever present, you're all knowing, you're all powerful. And we acknowledge that presence of yourself, even here, right now. We thank you and we bless you for this little encouragement tonight about this wonderful person of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.